This is David Kaplan on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Cap and Company podcast, presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Danny Zerriman, sitting in for David Kaplan today. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number, 312-332-3776. About 20 minutes ago, we were talking about quarterbacks in the NFL. Jeremy Fowler has a column up on ESPN.com ranking the NFL's top 10 quarterbacks for 2020. And Danny, the debate we were having was over number 10. Matthew Stafford in the column is ranked as the number 10 quarterback, but should it be Matt Ryan? Should we look at Ben Roethlisberger? A whole bunch of different options as we look at quarterbacks. And a little bit surprising that Matthew Stafford's number 10, but I feel like after we talked through it, we came to the conclusion that, yeah, Stafford and the Lions, he probably is the 10th best quarterback in the NFL.
For me, there was only two options at 10, Matthew Stafford or Matt Ryan. And I think Matt Stafford makes the most sense. The numbers he was putting up through the eight games that he played and he was healthy were on par to be out of this league. You know what I'm talking about? He has great weapons. And I think, listen, if I'm going to nitpick the list, it's not going to be with Matthew Stafford.
Let's go to Jeremy Fowler. He's on the Corona Hotline from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at JFowlerESPN. Jeremy, if we're talking about Matthew Stafford, if he is the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, can he actually play better than that? Can he get higher on the list in this next season?
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, he was a tight vote with Matt Ryan. I mean, through my first 30 votes, they were right there split in half, and so I had to go to tiebreakers to try to figure that one out. Ben Roethlisberger probably would have been in the top 10 if he didn't have the elbow injury, so that left a spot for Stafford. And yeah, he was on pace for 5,000 yards and almost 40 touchdowns last year. Kenny Galladay is a fringe top 10 player. Hawkinson, the tight end, is going to be really good. They finally got maybe a more running back help with DeAndre Swift in the draft. So, you know, really what's been the knock on Stafford is more, you know, the lack of playoff victories. But part of that is what people call a Detroit syndrome. You know, it's not one of the organizations that's very highly regarded as far as long-term success. And so, I don't know if they have some holes on that roster, so it's going to be tough to win games. But, you know, they were on the right track last year and lost a lot of close ones. And so, you know, with a quarterback like Matt, I mean, I do think they have a chance in the NFC North.
While we're talking about your list, and listen, I hate to split hairs and nitpick, but in this time with COVID-19 and lists like this making sports talk radio a lot of fun, you have Lamar Jackson on the list at number 6. And I know it's not just you doing the ranking. You've talked to a bunch of people and you got intel. But Lamar Jackson won the MVP last year. Lamar Jackson, in the 15 games he started, led his team to a 13-2 record. Does he not deserve to be higher on this list?
No, he probably does. And, you know, really what I did here is I compiled the voting and then put a composite ranking on it. And so Deshaun Watson at 4 and Drew Brees at 5 just had a stronger rating than Lamar did, who barely edged out Tom Brady. He could have very well been 7. It's just a lot of league folks look at him as a second tier right now. I know that sounds crazy, but they just feel like as a pure passer, it's just the ball placement isn't as good as it is with some other quarterbacks where, you know, like the Baltimore's got everything set up for him with multiple good running backs, big tight ends who have a long catch radius so the ball doesn't have to be perfect. And so they feel like, hey, if defenses adjust to the Ravens' attack, it's going to be on Lamar and he can do it. And he's the best athlete on the planet probably, but, you know, can he do it consistently is the question. Now, other league execs would debunk that and say, you know, you're crazy if you think you can stop him because it goes out there. You know, they thought they could stop him last year and it didn't matter. And it probably won't matter again this year.
So you've been putting out these lists all week. You've had best tight ends, best quarterbacks, best running backs. No Chicago Bears were represented. I don't think we can argue with that. Tomorrow you're releasing the wide receivers. Are we going to see Allen Robinson in the top 10? Give us a little taste of that. I also know next week we're going to see edge defenders and interior D linemen, corners and safeties. I would like to think those lists will be littered with Chicago Bears.
Littered, yeah. They don't have pound for pound one of the strongest rosters. You look at the Saints, you look at who else, you know, the Vikings come to mind with somebody who's a candidate on every spot, you know, the Chiefs. But, you know, they're going to have some defensive presence. Allen Robinson is an honorable mention. He did not make the top 10. I can confirm that.
There's Jeremy, there's still time to change it, right? You didn't hit publish.
No, the votes are in, my friend. But he got a couple. He got one really high vote from a opposing NFL cornerback. Said he's really tough to play against. He hates covering him, but he just didn't get enough support. You know, there are a lot that receivers tough because you not only have all those established veterans, but then you have guys like Chris Godwin and Kenny Galladay, 3-year guys that are exploding. It's a tough position because there are like 20 guys that are really good. So, but he's one of the 20, and so he got a lot of votes. But yeah, defense, multiple Bears will be in the mix. I can confirm that for sure. And the surprise guy at the the interior offensive line, you got a really good player who's in the mix.
Jeremy Fowler from ESPN talking football with Chris Black and Danny Zimmerman here in for David Kaplan on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Jeremy, when we look back to last week, Cam Newton signing with the New England Patriots, how do you think that pairing will work, and do you think Cam will have success with New England?
So it's fascinating because they're going to have to cater to his skill set. So I think the question around the league is, how will Josh McDaniels adapt? They're going to make him run the Tom Brady offense. It's not going to go so well. But then the problem is, too, you know, Cam Newton's probably not the same runner he was because of all the injuries. I mean, maybe he can prove that wrong. But to think he's going to be Lamar Jackson running around is probably unfair to him at this point in his career. So they're going to have to find a balance. They signed him to start. I mean, that's my understanding. You know, I think, or at least he's going into the situation expecting to start. Feeling like that's the indication. And so Jared Stidham, I think, will make him earn it in camp, but I think he's going to be the guy. And I don't know. I'm in the minority here. I know everybody's excited about the signing. I don't know how much he has left. I mean, a lot of people around the league, personnel evaluators, believe that, you know, look, he hasn't been the same since the Super Bowl. So what exactly are you getting right now?
Cam obviously replacing Tom Brady, who heads to Tampa Bay with Rob Gronkowski to join with Bruce Arians and that Tampa Bay Bucs team. What are fair expectations for the Bucs this year?
I mean, it's got to be playoffs. Anything less than that would be a massive disappointment. It was a team that was 7-9 but had a really good defense, or at least an emerging defense, several weapons on that side, two top 10 receivers. Now they got Gronk, who, if he's healthy, easily a top 3 tight end. They have two other good tight ends. They drafted a running back. Offensive line's pretty solid. Not great, but solid. There's no reason not to do well. The division's tough, you know. I mean, the Saints twice a year, Falcons twice a year. But, you know, the Panthers are expected to be down, or at least transitioning. So there are wins out there. And Tom Brady finally has probably the most weapons he's ever had. And so, even though his arm strength isn't the same, he can anticipate, and he can make it work, certainly, at age 43.
Jeremy Fowler from ESPN talking football with Chris Black and Dane Zimmerman in for Cap here on ESPN 1000. When we look at the NFC North, the Chicago Bears, they probably upgrade the quarterback position by trading for Nick Foles. We all think here that he's probably going to be the starter over Mitchell Trubisky. What are the Bears' chances at winning the NFC North and competing with the Packers and the Vikings?
Well, you know, I think it's such an interesting team because you have Trubisky struggles, but then you couldn't run the ball. You had some injuries on the line, no tight end help. So they've done some things, it looks like, to address those issues, especially a tight end, you know, with the Notre Dame kid, and then you've got you had Jimmy Graham. I mean, you know, that was the easy throw that Trubisky needed all year over the middle, and it wasn't there. And so, you know, if Nick Foles is the guy, You know, he just needs to make the simple play, and I feel like there's still enough around them that it will help. And talking to people around the league, they expect Khalil Mack to have another big year because of Robert Quinn. You know, we saw last year they were relying on Leonard Floyd to help anchor the other side, and it failed. And so, you know, Robert Quinn's an established guy. They can work off each other, and Mack should have maybe some more rushing lanes to dominate. And, you know, Hicks will be healthy. So I think the defense is going to be loaded. And so they can, you know, in the NFC North, you don't have to score 35 points a game to win either. So I do like their chances. I like the North in general. Probably the Lions the least from a talent standpoint, but it's going to be right there for everyone.
You know, with sports returning, baseball's finally getting back on the field practicing, we're seeing the MLS playing, we're all hopeful that the NFL season kicks off. But J.J. Watt said yesterday that it's too early for players to decide if they'll play. Can you envision the big stars, especially the ones that are more financially secure, sitting out if football actually is played this year?
I do think you'll have some opt-outs. I know some players are considering it. I've heard from several agents whose players are evaluating that right now. Whether it's 300-pound linemen or guys with asthma or 30-year-olds with two kids, you know, and they've made a lot of money. Like, some, you know, in some cases, they just don't need to come back. But I do think because you have a full season in front of you, it's not like baseball or basketball where you're trying to salvage a season. And plus the fact that football, they just don't make as much money as these other sports. I think most players will play. I think as long as the league can manage the positive tests that are inevitable come late July, early August when they report to camp, that's going to be more a determining factor than right now and what they agree to. Because I think in the end they do want to play. It just depends on whether they can damage control the positive tests.
Thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks.
That's Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. Follow him on Twitter, Jay Fowler, ESPN. Chris Black, Danny Zerman, sitting in for David Kaplan today. Some good football conversation there. It'll be interesting to see, Danny, as we head towards the preseason. I tend to think that the longer the summer goes on, the less chance we will see preseason games. Like, the only hope that the NFL has in my head is that you gear up, you get ready for week one, you have your training camps with your individual teams, and you get the schedule set, you show up for week one, you don't mess around with these preseason competitions, you try and play football games, you try and play as many as you can, and you try and get through this COVID-19 pandemic and see if you can get through it without having to stop. What's the point of unnecessary contact, unnecessary logistics, unnecessary situations where you're bringing people together, maybe you have an outbreak, and then guess what? Week two of the preseason, we have to shut it down for 2 months because half the league has COVID-19.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think there'll be a preseason. I don't think they should risk it by putting travel in place. There's no need to travel unless you absolutely have to, and you don't have to for preseason games that are meaningless. I will say, though, as a Bears fan, of all years for there not to be preseason football, this is not the year we want it. We want Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky to be able to compete for the starting quarterback job. And if there's no preseason games, how are they going to do that? At practice? And in my mind, that gives Mitch the advantage because, A, he's been working out with these guys. B, he was the incumbent.
Well, how did that go last year in practice?
Well, nobody beat him out. He just sucked.
Yeah. So if we take what we know of what took place last year, and if Nick Foles shows up and is just competent, I think things will just work itself out. I don't think you have to be worried about that.
Listen, I'm going to worry. But it's also funny because here we have Matt Nagy, the head coach, who for the last 2 years has not played his guys in the preseason.
He's ready to go.
I'm going to play the guys in the preseason, but there is no preseason.
There are concerns from a big NBA star about the Orlando bubble before his team sets travel to Orlando. A big star in the NBA concerned over the bubble. We'll talk about it next.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The Philadelphia 76ers today are scheduled to fly to Orlando for the NBA campus setting at Walt Disney World. Joel Embiid, center for the 76ers, on Zoom yesterday, quote, says, "I don't think it's going to be safe." And he's pointing out on the Zoom call yesterday that he considered opting out of the NBA restart because he doesn't trust that other players will take the proper precautions in Orlando. He does not think the NBA bubble will be safe enough, pointing to the other players as being the reason why he does not think it will be safe. Considered opting out, he will not opt out. He will partake. He will fly to Orlando, be a part of it. The 76ers are a team that could surprise people in the East and win the Eastern Conference. But Joel Embiid is a big name, a big star in the NBA, having concerns before the 76ers head to Orlando.
I applaud Joel Embiid. I appreciate his honesty. Not only is he saying as a big star on a team that has a chance to compete, right, that he's not comfortable going, he's telling us why. I don't feel safe because I don't trust the other guys are going to do everything possible to keep us safe. He thinks that a lot of the NBA players are going to want to do a lot of socializing. And listen, you can't blame him. If you're down in Orlando, Florida, and you've got nothing but time on your hands, what are you going to do? Now, Joel Embiid said all he wants to do is practice, work out, play games, and play video games. That's his whole life. That's fine. But if you're not a video game guy, you're going to want to go golfing. I saw that they're allowed to bowl together. They're allowed to go boating together. They're allowed to golf together. They're allowed to go play ping pong together. So there are social activities that the NBA is allowing these guys to do. Now, if everybody's doing their best to just kind of stay in that bubble and quarantine with one another, they should be safe. But if one guy comes in contact with somebody that he shouldn't, he puts everybody else at risk.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we've all dealt with over the course of the last 3 months. You know, since early March, this is something that we all deal with on a daily basis. So, you know, part of me hears stuff like this and hear the conversation about if one person gets in contact with and they can affect the whole bubble, it's like, well, at least they're setting up a bubble. You know, as just a normal person going about my life, there is no bubble that I'm a part of. I'm trying to create my own bubble, limiting the amount of people I come in contact with, the amount of people my wife comes in contact with, and going to work, coming home, being around family, being around you guys. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're all kind of dealing with this. So like, I don't really feel bad or have, like, he can be concerned, but like, I don't think that, like, they can only go bowling and they can only go golfing in between playing basketball and being taken care of 24/7. Like, tough. To me, it's like if someone said, "Danny, for the next 3 months, you're going to continue to do your job, but we're setting up a bubble. So you and your family have to go to this location. We're taking care of all your meals. All your athletic training, if you want to, you have any equipment you need, anything to get by throughout the day. If you want to go golfing, you can go golfing. If you want to bowl, you can go bowling. You can do karaoke if you want to. You can watch movies. Just you got to do your job, though. You got to show up and work throughout this." You'd say, okay, that's fine. We can do it. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel as if people being on the outside looking at pro sports, many are looking at this and suggesting that this is like, yes, it is difficult for Major League Baseball and for the NBA and for the NHL to get things up and running. But they have a better situation than many of us do to try and get through this as safe as possible.
And I think that better situation, though, is why you hear guys like Joel Embiid questioning whether or not they want to go. For guys like you and I, we really have no choice, right? I have to come to work, whether it's safe or not safe. I've got 3 kids. I've got a mortgage. I've got bills to pay. The option of not coming to work and not getting a paycheck is not there for me. Joel Embiid signed a $148 million contract. If he said to the 76ers, now he made 85% of that his salary for this year already. I don't know what 85% of his salary is, but it's a damn lot of money. If he said, "I don't feel safe. I don't want to put my life at risk. I don't want to jeopardize my long-term health," he financially is capable of doing that. Whereas guys like you and I just can't. And I think that's why these conversations are being had more on that level, because they literally can prioritize their health above all else because they have the financial means to do so.
Yeah, they absolutely can. And so for the 76ers, if Embiid wanted to not play, he could certainly do that. It would really hurt their chances. That I don't think they're winning a title without Joel Embiid. But also, compared to like a normal person, Joel Embiid probably, if he doesn't have to, needs to go to a grocery store. He probably has someone who can do that for him, right? Or the team, I would imagine, I don't know, I don't have intel on it, but I would imagine that teams probably throughout this pandemic have set up services so players don't have to go do those daily tasks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure if you contacted your professional team, if you're a pro ball player, and you said, I live in a state where I don't feel comfortable shopping, I'm sure they would find a way to take care of you to get your groceries to your front door. See what I'm saying? But you and I have to go to the grocery store. We have to do these things. So, it's a fascinating conversation. And I think once everyone gets there, I don't think we'll hear this stuff anymore. Like, once Embiid gets there and they're practicing and they're playing, I don't think we'll hear the stories of guys, unless there's an issue where there are random people who are just coming in and out of the sanctioned bubble, or if there's random people who are, you know, onlookers who are getting into the bubble, who are watching, who are not supposed to be there. Like, that's all stuff that I think would be a concern. But I think for the most part, the NBA has it set up as best as they could right now.
I think the NBA will do just fine once they get there, but the anticipation a lot of times is worse than the actual process. So right now, Joel Embiid's in Philadelphia. They haven't even left yet. I think they leave today at some point in time. Yep. So the whole idea of leaving Philly, leaving my home base, leaving where I'm secure, going to the unknown is why he spoke up yesterday on the Zoom. I also saw, and this is unfair, I'm a big Joel Embiid fan. He went to Kansas. I went to Kansas. So you know I have a bias towards him.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw a lot of people on Twitter and social media bashing him, saying that what he did yesterday was already making excuses for the 76ers failing.
Well, I mean, the 76ers are always battling that because they had a lot of hype with two young stars, one who can't shoot from three. The other is a guy who at times looks like he's out of shape. And so there's always excuses floating around the 76ers because they have the talent. They're a talented team. They should win games. And Embiid, in playoff series, should, for the most part, be the most dominant player in many of these series. You go back to the Toronto series last year where they lost on that last second shot from Kawhi. At times in that series, Joel looked like he was out of shape.
Yes.
So there's always a built-in excuse with these guys. Okay, fine. If it's not Embiid and his health and not being out of shape, well, it's because Ben Simmons can't shoot from three and the two stars that they have paired together actually don't vibe together. Like, there's always an excuse with the 76ers. So I totally get that.
Listen, I just think the guy's speaking up about wanting to protect his health, and you're saying, he just doesn't want to lose. Speaking of the bubble.
Yeah.
Did you see the pictures going around social media of the food that these athletes are being served?
Okay, are you going with the fake news or the real news?
The real news. What fake news is
there? Well, because one of the, a player for the Nuggets tweeted out a photo of half of his meal. He didn't take the full picture, so he left out the chicken, the fish, and the pasta, but he only gave you the, like, condiments and like the loose parts of the meal, and then tweeted it out, like, and everyone had outrage, like, how could these athletes only be given some kale chips and some salsa? Like that, is that what you're talking about?
No, but he did.
Or did you see the full meal there?
I saw the full meal, okay, with the chicken and the pasta and the lettuce and the water.
All right, give me a little armchair nutritionist breakdown of these meals.
Here's the thing. There was a follow-up picture that made it look better. But the first picture, the player that actually tweeted out the chicken and the pasta, it looked horrible. Like, let's be honest. Now, I'm not a millionaire. I'm not even close to it. I'm lucky if I'm a thousandaire, to be honest, right? But I personally would probably not have eaten that piece of chicken even if it was free. It looked dry and disgusting. These are elite NBA players coming from their homes with personal chefs eating top-notch food. Like, I could see the problem they had with it. These guys need to fuel their bodies with the best possible sources of fuel, and you're giving them a dried up crusty piece of chicken and a styrofoam thing of pasta and some wilted lettuce that's covered in watermelon. Like, that's not going to fuel you to be an elite athlete. Now, Malika Andrews, our good friend Malika Andrews, she did a good job of following up on it. She tweeted out some of the food that she received while she was in the bubble.
Any dry chicken there?
No. Her options were a lot better. What Malika tweeted out, her pictures, actually looked like real food, healthy food, food that could fuel an athlete. A lot of bread, Chris. And you know we don't talk about bread 9 to noon on this show. Lots of bread.
Dude, I was at the store 2 days ago. I bought 3 separate bags of bread.
They're called loaves.
I got rolls. That's bread. Is that not bread?
That's yeah.
I got half a loaf of sourdough bread.
If you're going to eat bread, sourdough is the best for you because what makes it sour helps your body process it and digest it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't care.
Proud of you there.
I just like the taste. And then we got some like really good looking hamburger rolls, but I think I'm not going to use them for burgers. I think I'm just going to make sandwiches with them because they look that good.
Why do you need 2 separate kind of rolls? You got rolls, sourdough, and rolls.
They look good.
Yeah, it's a lot of bread consumption in the black household.
What's that to you?
I'm just looking out for your health, kid.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay, let me ask you this. You got lunch meat there. You got a piece of chicken. What do you do with it? You just shove it in your mouth? No, you put it on some bread and you eat it as a sandwich like a human.
Chicken, I never liked chicken on bread. Except for, you know what I liked back in the day when I ate fast food? The Burger King, the long chicken sandwich, the fried long. That was a good Otherwise, chicken on bread isn't for me.
I hope Twitch got that motion you made with the long chicken sandwich there. I think that's ideal.
I hope it doesn't.
I hope they got that.
You're listening to Cap and Company. See what we're up to on Twitch.
At ESPN 1000 Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
See, that's why our people on Twitch are the best. Follow the station, ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. You can watch the show. They clipped you and your long chicken sandwich, so they got that out there. So
yep, I saw it. Yeah.
It's pretty good. Chris Black, Dane Zetterman, sitting in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So you had to, unfortunately, clean up something in your backyard last night.
Yes. There are certain duties that just get thrown my way.
Okay.
Just
suggesting gender roles?
Gender roles,
they all
yes.
come to dad?
Just, you know, there's no discussion. There's no, would you like to do it? Should I do it? So our house, our backyard, bumps up against a forest preserve. Lots of trees in the forest preserve. And occasionally, birds will fly from those trees. And because our windows are, you know, in the backyard of the house, they don't see them. Birds, I guess, aren't that smart. That's why you have the term bird brain. And they will fly into the window.
How many windows do you have? What kind of palatial estate just has a wall of windows facing the woods?
It's not a wall of windows. There's a number of windows.
You had so many that you got past 4 and your brain started to stop and be like, I probably shouldn't say I have 19 windows all facing the woods.
No, but we have a lot of windows. Like we have a sunroom in the back that's all windows. And then we have like some windows, a big window in the kitchen. Anyways.
And birds are just dive bombing the windows?
It doesn't happen that often, but maybe 3-4 times a summer, specifically in the summer when the trees are full of birds, we'll hear a pop, and it's like, oh boy, a bird hit the tree. This is awesome. This is not part of the story. And it's only awesome if you're into nature, but like maybe 2 or 3 months ago, a bird flew into one of the windows. We heard it hit, and my wife goes, I think a bird just hit the window. We ran to the window and looked out, and a bird was on the floor, and a gigantic hawk swooped in and took it, and it was incredible.
Nature, man.
Nature. Loved every second of it. So anyways, last night, we're in the backyard. We're eating dinner. I barbecued. We're sitting in the backyard at the table eating.
Any bread?
The kids.
Solid.
No,
yeah,
no bread.
Good.
Tortillas. The kids had tortillas. No bread, but I guess it's in the bread family.
Works in my book.
We're eating dinner. Everybody's having a nice time. The next thing we know is we hear the pop.
Any squawk?
No squawk. Just a pop. Of course, the kids get up and run and look. And sure enough, there's a dead bird on the floor.
What kind of bird?
It was like it was a cute little one, a finch. I don't know, hummingbird.
Oh, finch!
I don't know what kind of bird it
with
was.
Yellow on the
no
wing.
Yellow. Oh, cardinal. Let's
so like a brown
say for
finch?
The sake of the story, because I'm a Cub fan, it was a cardinal.
Oh, that's sad. Cardinals are pretty.
They're all pretty birds. You never want to have a bird pass away in your yard.
I would imagine a cardinal is not flying into your window and only making a little
No,
sound. That would be a boom and a big squawk.
It was a small bird. It was like
all right,
maybe
so probably a finch, a little brown finch,
a little brown bird.
Adorable. You guys murdered a finch. Okay, we
didn't.
Go ahead.
I didn't build the house
with your
there.
House of windows. Okay.
So the bird flies into the window. We hear the smack. It falls to the floor. Of course. My wife says, I think a bird just hit the window. The kids get up. Sure enough, they find the bird on the floor. So I want to finish eating my dinner, but my wife cannot go on with dinner knowing there's a dead bird, you know, 20 feet away from us.
Sure.
So she just looks at me and says, you're going to have to pick up the bird. Every bird that's ever hit the window, I've had to pick up the bird.
Yeah.
Why is it not a conversation of why don't you pick up the bird, sweetheart?
So before I answer that, let me ask the details of how you go about picking this up. Do you then go get a shovel and then scoop it up and then walk it to the woods and do a little flick and then fling that little sucker into the woods? Is that how you do it?
The first few times I did it with the shovel. Okay. Now I'm at a point where I'm more of a professional, a lot less queasy. I get in the house. I put on a pair of rubber gloves that we have for the COVID-19 virus. I get a plastic jewel bag, and I get rid of the bird.
And then boom, right into the fire pit. No?
But fire pit?
No.
Right into the garbage can.
I mean, you treat it like it's dog?
What am I going to do, bury it?
Well,
I'm
going
to bury every bird that hits my window?
Put it back to where it came from.
I feel like PETA's listening to this now, and they're very upset. No birds were harmed by the Zetterman family.
Yes, your house of windows killed the bird.
I did not build the house, nor was I the architect that designed it.
You could put up like a little, don't they put up little things to keep birds away from, you know, traps? And maybe not a trap, but like a little, you should put like a hawk sign, like a fake hawk in your yard so they don't come flying in.
Why don't I just hang up on the fence? Birds, beware of windows.
Isn't
maybe
that something people
slow
do?
Them
like,
down.
When you're on the golf course, you see the like cutout of the coyote on the green to keep the geese away from the green. Why don't you put like a fake owl sitting up near the windows so then they think there's a predator up there and they won't come flying in? Hit the window.
Like a scarecrow type deal. I got
you. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'll Google that and I'll see if that applies to my house.
Okay, so why are you the one that has to do
yes.
it? Because you're the guy, you're the man.
But like, this isn't the first time in the last week that this has pissed me off. That's why I brought it up to you this morning, because last week
how
I was
many
off.
Birds are dying?
No, it's not the birds, but there's like, I feel like there's certain jobs.
I have a great example. All right, so I usually work in the evenings and I get home at like 11:30 at night. And I hit like plenty of times I'll come home and there'll be like two or three red Solo cups upside down on the ground, like in the carpet in the bedroom or in the kitchen.
Bug traps.
Exactly. Yeah. My wife doesn't want to pick them up, but she'll trap them, and I just have to know that there's bugs underneath them so I can get the bugs and with the cup upside down and usher them outside.
By default, without a conversation, that has become your job.
Absolutely.
For instance, last week I was off.
Yeah.
We went to Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. We went on a boat. We were out in the middle of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
I have three kids. The kids wanted to swim in the lake. The water
Summer.
Was freezing. Freezing. I'm talking freezing. It wasn't even a discussion with my wife. Do you want to swim with the kids or should I? It was, the kids want to swim. You better get in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, you have to protect them
yes,
in the water.
But why by default am I getting in the cold water? Why by default am I picking up the dead bird?
Because in the lake, I'm sure in Wisconsin, there might be muskie, and you've got small kids. Muskie comes along, picks off a kid. You got to be in the water to grab the kid back.
No, I understand why a parent had to be in the lake. I'm not questioning why we had to swim with our kids. I'm questioning why it had to be me in the cold water.
I mean, you're in Wisconsin. You never know. Those muskies,
muskie
they got
really
big teeth,
up a
man.
Kid?
Yeah, why not? They eat loons. Is your kid bigger than a loon?
What's a loon?
You've never seen a loon?
No.
It's a bird.
Is that a nice name to call people?
It's a swimming bird. And they go underwater, and then you can't see them. You know what the loon's doing when it's underwater? It's looking for food. Swimming around. Holds its breath for a really long time, and then it pops up in a different location. You're like, how did that loon get over there when I saw it go under the water over here? And muskie eat the loons. Are all of your kids much bigger than the loons?
I'm going to have to Google a loon, but I'm going to assume yes. Let's say yes.
I'm just saying.
Chalk me on the board for yes.
If you look at the teeth of a muskie, I think it could take a kid if it needed to. Like, don't tempt it. Don't put your kid out there on a line and then reel them in real slow so it does the little bloop, 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 because that's the sound effect that a lure makes for trying to fish muskie. I'm just telling you. Did you search loons?
I'm looking at a picture of a loon now. It's a pretty nice bird.
Right?
Listen, the question
that's
wasn't...
Why? Yes, that's why you had to be there.
The question wasn't, does Danny have to protect his kids, or does Danny's kids need protecting? The question was, why by default was Danny the guy that had to get in the freezing cold water?
We go to Reed in Quincy, Illinois. Reed, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Reed?
Hey, so you guys were talking a little bit about, you know, no fans in the audience for these NBA games or other games. And I know golf has done a little bit of it when they showed the replays of old tournaments. But let's bring in, I want to see LeBron commenting whenever Giannis is playing, you know, the Celtics and Tatum. And, you know, maybe a little bit of heckling, but also just like getting their reaction to how the game goes since they're going to be in this bubble. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. LeBron watching Giannis play and having other NBA players in the stands, I think it'd be cool. I would imagine that you don't want to waste all your time sitting around watching other people play, but like you kind of have that atmosphere when you going back like years past of like NCAA tournament locations where a team will play and then they come on out and they watch the following game. I think that stuff's always cool.
I would assume a lot of guys are going to watch for scouting purposes, but also there's going to be so much time on their hands, and they love basketball so much, and if they have friends on other teams, why wouldn't they go out and support them?
We're talking NBA and loons here on ESPN 1000. Bill in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000.
You guys answered the million-dollar question in my household. I never knew that that bird was a loon. My son and I, he's 7, and I took him fishing last week for the very first time. And we were fishing at a quarry with just some corn and bread and had the hook in the water. And we were watching the bluegill coming after the fish or after the hook. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this bird comes underneath the dock in the water, takes the bluegill that's about ready to eat our hook, and then comes up out of the water and swallows it whole. And we looked at each other and we're like, we're out of here.
And Bill, it's a big bird, right?
Oh, yeah, it looks like a duck. It's black and has a long neck, but yeah. It was literally under the water. We didn't even know it was in there, and it had to have been under there for a little bit because it came swimming under, and I almost dropped the pole in the water, and my son freaked out.
Bill, do you think the loon could, swim away with one of Danny's kids if possible? Is it about the same size as a loon, Danny's kids?
Say no. I don't know. No, maybe a heron. One of those big herons could, you know.
Not that kind of hawk. How do you spell heron?
Thank you for the call, Bill.
Now I got to worry about a heron.
I know. You're worried about the birds and the muskie all coming for you. We'll take more of your bird calls next. This hour, Cap and Company is brought to you by the Home Loan Experts. If you're like most folks who've probably spent a lot of time in your home over the last couple of months, maybe you're thinking, it's time for a change. TheHomeLoanExperts.com.
Cap and Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN _ Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Chris in Midway, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Great show. Hey, Danny, I got a thing for you, man.
Let's shoot. I'm open for anything.
When I was married many moons ago, my girlfriend at the time, who was my wife, we agreed that
Hold on, Chris. You had a girlfriend at the time while you were married, or your girlfriend turned into your wife?
No, my girlfriend at the time that ended up being my wife.
All right. I just want to make sure what we're talking about. Yeah, okay.
When it came to take the garbage out, when it came time to do dishes, we flipped the coin, and we agreed no matter what the coin says is what we do. So if you said heads and you've lost 4 or 5 times in a row, that was it. Since then, I'm happily divorced, but it's a great deterrent, man. I mean, like you said, why should you have to do something? Flip the coin.
I'm down with that. I don't know if my wife will be down with it. Like, for the majority of the household...
Of course not, because you get the advantage, man.
What about your girlfriend?
Happily divorced.
Thank you for the call, Chris. I mean, good luck. I mean, I would suggest that maybe taking that approach is why he no longer is in that relationship. If it's a coin flip when clearly you should be pulling your weight, I could see that situation playing out.
Like with household chores, it's not a conversation. Like, we have that down to a science. We know the household chores, the garbage, the grocery, all that stuff works out fine. But it's the little things like, oh, there's a dead bird. Guess who's picking it up? Or guess who's jumping in the freezing lake? That's not a conversation we're having.
Yeah, to fend off the muskie. Tom in Wausau, Wisconsin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
Danny, normally the man in the house is supposed to do those chores. But after listening to you whine about the tailgating where it's so difficult, I'm going to put air quotes about calling you man of the house. I can tell you that. Maybe they should get Cap to come over and take the dead bird away.
Oh, God. Listen, wow. Tom, I could accept all the insults until that point. Cap would hire a person, and he would overpay them.
Yes.
While being shirtless in a silver necklace.
Maybe you should start looking like that. I don't know.
Thank you, Tom. So. Thank you for the phone call. Elmhurst Steve, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Couple things. One, Danny, you should be able to get some decals are readily available that you can put on your windows that will deter the birds from flying into the windows. And then secondly, if you do get one that flies into the window, you know, if you got muskie in that lake, it might be good bait. And I'm not kidding when I say that, because like years ago, like my uncle, he used to always use frogs and even rats. He had a harness that you'd put on a rat that you'd buy like at the pet store, and you cast that baby out. Well, they made it illegal to use rats and frogs for bait. But I don't know about birds, but, you know, you have to use it when it's still fresh, because otherwise when it gets, you know, rigor mortis sets in, it's not going to really flop around like a bird struggling
right.
in the water.
But you need it moving.
It might make
yeah.
good bait.
Steve,
yeah.
did your uncle that used rats as bait eat the fish he caught?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. my goodness.
Well, I mean, when you catch the fish, you bring it to shore. It's not digesting that rat at the time. You
no,
cut the meat
it
off.
Hasn't
yeah,
digested
come on.
The rat.
What are you doing?
Dude,
Flay the fish.
Guys, I don't
what
know
are you
if
waiting
you,
for?
I don't know if you've gathered this or not. I'm not the world's greatest
outdoorsman. What, are you
going to
farm the fish? You're going to keep in the water for a
the
while?
Outdoor, the idea of catching a fish
you've
with
never
a dead
a
rat
fish?
And then eating it? Count me out.
Seriously,
don't
you've
have
never,
me over to your fish fries.
Steve, hold on. You've never filleted a fish carcass? You've never done that? You've never you haven't done that?
Solo, no.
Times.
I've done it with, like, I've gone fishing with a friend, and the friend has
so
kind of guided me through the whole thing.
What was it? Were you sitting there like Ghost, and he was helping you?
No, he's like, all right, we're going to cut it here, and you're going to stab it there, and you're...
Steve, you're talking about the little harness. Like, you could even buy those harnesses for like a dog, right? And you put them on the leash.
Yeah,
so they...
but it was obviously smaller, but it was made out of leather, and it had triple treble hooks hanging from it in different locations. And when the muskie would, you know, clamp down on it, no matter where it hit it, it would clamp down on a hook. And you know, they were great. It was great for bait. I wish I would have hung on to the harnesses, but once it became illegal, you know, then we discarded them. But they, oh my God, they worked fabulous.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the call. I think that's going to go down as one of the great calls in ESPN 1000 history. The rat harness for fishing with the hooks that come down. I love that.
I don't know if I'm more surprised that someone's going fishing with a dead rat than eating that fish, or the fact that you know so much about outdoor stuff.
Yeah, why wouldn't I know about
it? You just
it?
Don't come across as that guy.
Well, I mean,
you don't
maybe,
seem
maybe
like
you
MacGyver.
You shouldn't judge every book by its cover. How about that?
I wasn't judging by your cover. I've known you for years. You've never talked about going fishing.
Well, I have, and I've filleted a fish.
Or loonies.
You
or
got right underneath,
kids from muskie.
Right underneath that fin, you make a slice, and you go down the spine, and you flip over the fillet, and you do it on the other side. Come on. You've never filleted a fish?
Like I said, if I went fishing with you and
you get
that
cool knife
fish,
that bends, so then you put it like in between the skin and the fillet meat and you slide it through. You've never done that?
Dude, I took my son fishing in Glenview at the lake in Glenview. We put the worm on the thing. I threw it in.
That's
and the
not,
whole time,
that's not fishing.
This is a true story. The whole time I was praying we didn't catch anything because I didn't want to have to take the fish off the hook.
So great.
I was like, dude, let's not catch a fish.
We have generational polls to get to. we got to talk about this. Maybe you can give the results to Jeff Dickerson and Yurko, because they are coming up for Crosstalk in 2 minutes.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.